You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's 6:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
Hi. Good morning, Jamie. It's me. It's Brian Noonan. Hi, everybody.
We're ready.
I'm amping myself up because it's another day where we slog through everything that goes on. This is where, for those of you who are new to the program, which is all of us, quite frankly, because we're all new to this program, Jamie enjoys research. We've made that very clear.
She enjoys
digging deep into the story. I enjoy getting enough facts to open a conversation with you and move on. That's why comes a certain point, and this is a little behind the scenes just to get the day started. There comes a point in the night where I say the show is ready to go. I know what we're talking about. That doesn't exist for Jamie until 8 o'clock in the morning when the show is over.
Because this is true.
Even this morning, we had locked in. There were probably 30 stories at the top of the rundown. Then Jamie goes and I put some in, and Jamie puts some in. But then she delves deep, and then she gets upset because there's more news happening. And I'm like, yeah, we're here for 2 hours. We're going to get to as much as we can. That being said, I don't know why I'm rambling when we have so much to get to.
Last night, I will be honest and say, and we do have some big stuff to get to this morning if you've been following any of the headlines, but last night was just one of those nights. Every time I'd look up, I'd be like, no, just stop. Does nobody in this White House ever do anything else besides wreak havoc on the world?
No, and we have to take a break. I've been reading a lot of social media posts from people going, I just needed a break. Today, I read a book. Today, I listened to music. Today, I did this. You need a break, too.
I do. Because
we all do, but I don't know. If you checked your calendar this morning, what was the year when you looked at it?
I believe that we are sitting in the wonderful year of 2026. Am I correct on that?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Obviously, based on the news cycle, are in 2020 or early 2021 because... once again,
we have a
Georgia
time machine? How did we get a time machine? Okay.
Because we have somebody in the White House who has no concept of reality, and so they can travel to whenever they want. Next, he's going to the round table because he was left out of the nights. But in the meantime, we go back to Georgia, which, if you remember, was a hotbed during the 2020 election. The president elect had allegedly called Georgia and asked them to find him 11,000 votes. Well, yesterday I will give it to you, Jamie, you were right, the year 2026, FBI agents executed a court-authorized search warrant at the Fulton County Election Hub and Operations Center in Union City, which is a massive warehouse-style facility opened in 2023 to centralize election operations. Yes, we're back investigating the 2020 election and Georgia, despite 3 complete recounts and a total hand count and court decisions saying there was nothing irregular about Georgia except that you lost.
Right. And obviously, this is a president who cannot get over the fact that he lost the state.
Oh.
The timing of this, though, is what is really extraordinary, I think, because just 1 week ago, remember Davos, why he was standing at a podium in Switzerland giving a speech at the World Economic Forum. He actually repeated the false claim that the 2020 election was rigged and suggested that people would soon be prosecuted for what he says was fraud. This is cut one, the president, 1 week ago.
It was a rigged election. Everybody now knows that. They found out. People will soon be prosecuted for what they did. It's probably breaking news, but it should be. It was a rigged election. Can't have rigged elections.
I'm gonna put my head down on the desk for a minute because I'm getting woozy. I'm getting woozy from the realities, the alternate realities that are swirling about in this man's head. It's gotta be like imagine a white noise machine cranked up to 11 in his head all the time. there's no cognizant thought coming out of there, and he lives in a world of make-believe.
Yeah.
But not the fun land of make-believe, like Mr. Rogers, the terrifying land of make-believe, like Stranger Things.
We need more Mr. Rogers, by the way. Speaking of a Roger, over on our text line, Roger from Stevens Point this morning says, did they find the Epstein files in Fulton County? I don't believe that they actually did, Roger,
no,
but
Roger.
That is a good question.
They'll find those in a few days. In a very short amount of time they're coming out,
like
Roger. Two weeks.
Everything's 2 weeks. Now, if you do want to comment this morning, 1-855-752-4842-1-855-75-CIVIC. Now, what's also extraordinary, I think, about this particular investigation is that it's being overseen by FBI Director Kash Patel, who was, of course, appointed for the second term.
Who in every picture looks like he just sat on an attack.
He looks very surprised and shocked. Maybe he's surprised.
What are you doing?
He's probably surprised and shocked he's in a seat, too, like just like the rest of us. But a federal lawsuit filed last month seeks to basically compel Fulton County's clerk to release physical ballots, the ballot stubs, absentee ballot envelopes for independent inspection. The clerk argues that those ballots are sealed under Georgia law and can only be released by a court order, not by executive demand. And the judge has not yet ruled in that particular case. This is what they're trying in multiple states. Pam Bondi actually is just trying this tactic in Minneapolis. When they started investigating Governor Walz and they started investigating Mayor Fry and State Attorney General Keith Ellison, it wasn't so much for their actions. It was because they were trying to get files from their office, if you read those court orders. So this is a tactic they are trying in multiple places. This is not new.
It is not new, and if you're tempted to say at first blush, why does he's president? Why does he care what happened to what? Because, my friends, what's coming up in November? Midterms. What's coming up in 3 years? Another presidential election. What do the Republicans not want to happen because the forecast is gloomy for their party? They don't want elections. The
right.
President wants to stay in power, and if he can cast doubt on the veracity of our election process, suddenly elections may go away. And that is not alarmist. That is just, think about it. And I've reached this stage, Jamie, you know the seven stages of grief?
I do, yes.
I'm going through the seven stages of Trump. I'm in the I have to laugh because I'm going insane stage. I don't know if that's like three or four, but it's somewhere after complete shock, anger, repulsion, then it's laugh it off. Then I don't know what the next stage is. I'll keep you abreast of the situation.
It's whiplash, right? And that's what it's technically meant to be. This is exactly what they want it to be. They want us to be so overwhelmed with this news cycle, the things that are happening, that we overlook other things that are actually mattering to people. Now, when it comes to this Fulton County find the ballots. I don't even know what we call this.
Yeah.
Search and rescue. I don't know what we're doing here. But three recounts.
Flights of fancy.
That too. Three recounts. There was a full hand audit. Full hand audit actually confirmed Biden's win. So this is obviously one of those episodes that our president has where he just is trying to get retribution and trying to make sure that whatever he says is factual. And let's be real, any evidence, we'll put that in air quotes, that comes out of this, nobody's going to trust that. Nobody's going to trust it.
What other evidence could there be? But you're right. Anything that comes out of this is not going to be valid. Not going to be believed. This has been adjudicated and examined and counted all across the country. They lost every lawsuit that they filed in 2021 and beyond based on trying to prove that this was a rigged election. It's all part of the plan, as we said, and it's all more gaslighting. Just like when they tell us, don't believe the video you saw of Alex Purdy. Don't believe the Renee Good videos. Don't believe your wallet when you go to the grocery store. Don't believe. That's their plan, sowing doubt. And to back to your point about just the whiplash and exhausting us and bombarding us every day with so many different things and hoping we forget. Well, people haven't forgotten the Epstein files, and people don't forget just on a pure basic level. They don't forget what groceries cost. They don't forget what their utility bills are, what their gas is for their car. They don't forget that you've stripped their health care and, you know, their family is sick. We don't forget, no matter how much you tell us, look away, I've got something sparkly over here.
Well, and that's just it. It's always about that sparkly object. And it's always about trying to divert your attention from one thing to another. And that's simply all this is going to be. There is no merit to this investigation. Surrogates were sent out after the 2020 election. Lives were turned upside down. People have been prosecuted for the lies in these particular cases. For good reason, because there was evidence at that time that those were actually lies. The lies about the election being stolen were lies, and that has been prosecuted in courts of law. And there's no justification for this other than sheer retribution and to sow doubt in what is supposed to be a fair voting system in this country. That's it.
Well, and it's, you know, the amount... Overall, the election system is fair. Are there a few little tiny blips on the radar where something goes wrong? Yes, of
course. No system's perfect.
Right, and it's a huge country with millions and millions of people. There's going to be a mistake, especially when you're counting on human beings who are flawed. It's not malicious, and the percentage is so minuscule that it means nothing. They've run those formulas where they say, all right, Even if you take into account the percentage of wrongly counted ballots or this or that, it would never change an election result.
Right.
And they've been doing this forever. I mean, well, let's go back to the hanging chads, shall we? And it just happens. And, you know, adults can take a loss and move on. But,
well, this particular adult cannot.
I'll leave that, yeah. Chronology does not make an adult.
Exactly. And what I think is scary about what's happening right now in Georgia is that this is going to raise serious questions, right? Mm-hmm. It's the independence of law enforcement who actually prosecuted the surrogates of this administration who are lying. It is the separation of politics and also of prosecution. It's also rule of law that is being examined here and pushed to its limits. And it's, I think, too, whether or not our democratic institutions are being pulled back into some sort of fight that most of us believed and thought were already solved. And in the middle of all the chaos with the ICE raids, this is a battle that this administration has chosen to go after. Because again, shiny object. Sure. If everybody's concentrating over here, then maybe we can actually figure out what happened in this rigged, weird election where I lost and didn't win.
How could I lose?
Because you lost.
When you look at the menu of horrors that are on the table right now, you go, we don't need you to add another one. But again, it goes back to your point. This is the plan.
Yeah.
The more, the merrier. Speaking of that, boy, the administration does not want to leave Wisconsin elections alone. Didn't work out for them last time, but we'll talk about that.
Do they never learn their lesson? I think that's the moral of the story. They're never going to learn
their lesson.
Did we just
spend 20 minutes talking about an election 6 years ago?
Yes. They're never going to learn their lesson.
No, they never learn.
It's 6:19 right now. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
It's 6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Maybe you're listening in Wausau on WXCO or in La Crosse on WLCX. We are glad that you're here. Another frigid start to the day. Doesn't look like we're warming up anytime soon. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I am Brian Noonan. I've turned up the heater here. It's very, very cold, as always. But what are you going to do? If you want to get involved in the conversation, and you can just tell us it's cold. We don't care. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, whatever you want to talk about. Maybe you want to talk about the administration weighing in, jumping in once again, wading into Wisconsin elections because the president has dropped one of his solid gold endorsements on one of our gubernatorial candidates. Again, if I'm this candidate, I'm going to be a little hesitant to wholeheartedly accept this. Too late, but that hasn't worked out lately.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling it's going to be more of a curse from now on than a blessing.
Well, and this is just the start. We mentioned this very quickly yesterday, if you were able to join the program. President Trump has officially endorsed Representative Tom Tiffany for governor, calling it a, quote, complete and total endorsement on Truth Social.
Wow. Not just a partial, maybe a half-handed endorsement?
Lukewarm. Nope. He is all in. Now, Trump says that Tiffany will, quote, fight to advance common sense values and put Wisconsin and America first. Now, on the heels of this particular...
should we be worried that the president has endorsed somebody who doesn't know how to watch videos? Whose eyes are so blurry that all... Well,
it's okay.
All right, never mind, never mind.
There are certain values that do not apply here. We just move on. So on the heels of that endorsement, Tiffany's main GOP rival, Josh Shulman, who was the Washington County executive, dropped out of the race. Tiffany's actually raised about $2.1 million in the first 3 months of this particular campaign, which was more than three times what Shulman was able to do in early fundraising. But here's where the really fun part comes, Brian. Are you ready for this?
I enjoy fun parts.
Okay. All right.
Well, but pull that drop, Dom.
All right. I have it ready.
Got awesome. Boy Aquarium's always on it for us. So there's another GOP race that you need to pay attention to in this state. And Trump actually endorsed one of those candidates, Michael Alfonso. Yes. Now, he is the youngest candidate for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. He also happens to be the son-in-law of former Congressman Sean Duffy, who is also our Department of Transportation secretary. All right.
Former road rules star.
Yes, yes. Lumberjack world champion in 1994.
Right.
So on Truth Social, Trump called Alfonso a mega warrior and a rising young star. Alfonso is 25 years old. He promised to put America and Wisconsin 7th first. Now, mind you, this is also the same district that Tom Tiffany represents. Okay?
Oh.
So all of these things are tied together. Alfonso also supports the Trump agenda on issues including border security, energy, gun rights, and also farming.
What is their policy now on gun rights?
I'm not sure.
Over the last 4 days. Okay.
It has.
But as long as Alfonso supports it, no matter what it is,
yes.
I guess.
Yes.
Is that, okay.
Yes.
I have to check, Jamie.
Gotta stick with the facts.
I want to know the facts. So
right.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. So Democrats have criticized this endorsement. Alfonso is inexperienced. He's 25 years old. He's a kid from Florida living up here because now he's married to Sean Duffy's daughter. Congratulations to the happy couple, by the way. I know they haven't been married that long. They are labeling him as a political yes man. Now, this is the 7th district is a solidly Republican seat. And there are also two other candidates in this race. So Alfonso will be primaried in August. So we'll see who actually comes out being the candidate. Now, here's the really interesting part about this story. Trump's endorsement of Alfonso, remember, Sean Duffy's son-in-law, actually came because Sean Duffy cornered and campaigned actively for this particular endorsement of his son-in-law. So much to the point where Trump aides were concerned because Duffy cornered the president in the White House to have this conversation, according to reporting.
When a lumberjack corners you, it's serious cornering.
This is all according to a reporting that came out last night.
Boy.
Now, last year, Duffy, of course, drew attention for campaigning in Wisconsin during the federal government shutdown for his son-in-law. That appearance was reportedly very frustrating to several on the White House staff, even though Trump publicly supported Duffy and that particular move. Alfonso's campaign features numerous images with the president, and Duffy has even joined him on the trail at this point. So this is politics in 2026. Yeah. Here we are.
And again, it's good luck. Good luck. The label of yes man, not far off based on his acceptance of Trump's endorsement that he posted on X or Twitter or whatever it is.
Whatever
the greatest president of all time, he said. That's a quote. And he pledged, quote, being a steadfast MAGA warrior. The 7th District deserves a representative who will fight for the MAGA agenda and put America and Wisconsin first. Is the MAGA, is that label going to prove harmful? Being a Republican is one thing. Being MAGA is another. And I'm wondering, with all that's going on, there are still hardcore MAGA cultists.
Sure.
But it's like the Tea Party. They had a very strong core, but not enough to carry the whole Republican Party.
Right.
And it seems to me the tide is turning, not against conservatives, but just against MAGA conservatives.
Yes, I agree. There are still some very principled conservatives. When you think back to the conservative values of the days of Reagan, John McCain, there are still some very principled conservatives out there. So I don't know how this is going to play out. Yeah. Are they going to be okay with voting for somebody who's been endorsed by a different wing of the party that maybe they don't even recognize right now? I mean, it happens in both parties, but we shall see. But you go, Michael Alfonso. You've got the endorsement. It's 6:29.
Oh, you meant still run. I thought you meant just go.
Whatever. Well, either way, 6:29 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's 6:35 right now. I love when you do that. You are listening to Civic Media Mornings.
I aim to aggravate you with it the same way I aggravate Debbie. No matter where that song comes on, no matter when Molly talks, anytime something science comes on, it's a reflex. Well, I'm like Pavlov's dog.
And I'm like a squirrel with a nut. I can be so distracted so easily, it's not even funny. So I'm like, oh, I have no idea what I was going to say. Anyway, Civic Media Mornings, I'm Jamie Martinson.
I'm sorry. I'm Brian Noonan. And Sean Cable, I love you. Don't be so excited about -6 degrees. Listen, I enjoy an upbeat weather person.
That's right.
A forecaster, a meteorologist. Right. But a tinge of sadness in your voice when you give a -6. That's all I'm asking.
That's all.
Speaking of tinge of sadness, the most ham-handed segue of the morning so far, we got to keep talking about Minneapolis because things keep happening in Minneapolis. Every day there's more developments on this story, the shooting. It seems like some people have forgotten Rene Good, but focusing on Alex Priddy because he is the most recent, and the case with, you'd have to be have some sort of brain damage to not see what happened there. But we've got a little bit of a victory because there was a judge's ruling up there yesterday.
Yes, yes. And I will be honest, if you were listening earlier this morning, you mentioned that last night when I was diving into news, it just kept happening. And this was what was happening last night. There was so much going on late into the evening in Minneapolis, and some of it was just too important to not discuss this morning. And you mentioned this federal judge. This particular individual has stepped in to protect refugees in Minnesota, issuing a temporary restraining order that blocks the Trump administration from arresting resettled refugees while a legal challenge proceeds. The order also calls for the immediate release of refugees currently detained in Minnesota and those transferred to Texas. In this particular ruling, The judge emphasized that refugees have a right to live, work, and move freely without fear of being arrested in their homes, on the way to religious services, or during everyday activities. And, of course, advocacy groups argued that immigration officials were targeting these refugees who had already been thoroughly vetted before resettlement. So a little bit of a bright spot last night as this continues to be battled in the courts, I think.
And we've been hearing the reports of people, not only refugees, but immigrants, whether they are documented or undocumented, staying in their homes. I wonder, though, if that will be, if this ruling will ease their worries at all. I don't know. I would still be terrified if I was a refugee who has a right to be here. Like you said, they were vetted. They were brought into this country.
Right.
It's, there's a reason people are refugees.
And based on the current actions, do you actually think that this administration is going to step back what they're doing based on this judge's ruling? It hasn't stopped them before.
No.
And in fact, in cases over the last few months, there have been times when they've been in court and this administration fighting in one case, and the administration is doing the complete opposite of why they're in court that in the midst of all of that. So,
and we see that DHS up there does not. There are interactions that are not recorded, not only video recording, but no reports are made. We heard that in the Alex Pretty incident from a couple weeks ago when they said he had a run in with ICE agents. Then, there was no report on that. So. You know, as much as I would hope that it eases the minds of some of these people, some of the residents in Minneapolis, I don't see how it could. I would still be, I think, very wary. It's still happening in Chicago where people are still wary about leaving their homes, even though the big operation has ceased. So.
And that's going to be natural, I think, for so many for so many different community members, for immigrants who have come into the country legally. There's no easiness about this. And again, it's not going to stop the administration with a piece of paper. It's just not. No. I do want to say that Michael's over on our text line this morning. Thank you for making me smile. You brought up the word tinge of sadness there. Those words, Brian, when we were talking.
Yes.
And Michael says that sounds like a good band name. Texting in this morning from Wauwatosa. If you do have
copyright that, Dom.
Writing that down, too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you do have a comment for us this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. You can call or text us. Now, also on the precipice of this federal ruling last night, there was some other bigger news that came out of Minneapolis.
Yes.
And it's actually
more video?
Yes. It's new video footage emerged showing Alex Pretty, who we all know was shot last weekend, in a confrontation with agents 11 days prior to his death. Now, we had mentioned this, if you were listening yesterday, that and you just alluded to it, that they didn't have any sort of database or hadn't acknowledged the fact that they had had any sort of run-in with him. Now, in this video, and you can see it online, it's starting to circulate. It has been verified. Pretty shouts at agents.
Send it to Tom Tiffany, would you?
Well, it might be a little grainy for him. It's going to be hard to parse out what's happening.
Okay.
Pretty shouts at agents in this video and also kicks a vehicle's taillight. The agents stop, they tackle him to the ground, and then walk away. Now, there's a gun in the video that appears in Pretty's waistband, though it's unclear if the agents at the time noticed. And again, we'll remind everybody, Pretty did have a license to carry a weapon. He had a permit. Okay, so this is a legal.
All legal.
All legal. DHS says that it is currently reviewing this new video. And following Pretty's death, just in case anybody's wondering, those two officers involved in shooting him over the weekend have been placed on administrative leave, which is a standard protocol in fatal use of force incidents. But the new video is interesting. And as you said, we don't know who this guy is. We've never seen him before.
Really?
I'm not buying that.
And we also don't know if the officers involved in the shooting on Saturday were the same ones involved in this incident. That hasn't been made clear. So we don't know if they recognized him on Saturday. But we do know for a fact that ICE did have a run-in with him shortly before this other incident on Saturday.
Which
is, it's amazing that they didn't, like, we could see the gun in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't see it that time. It depends on, I guess it just depends on who is making the stop.
Well, and that's just it. But I think it's going to lead to bigger questions because before this incident and before this incident 11 days prior, there were already questions as to whether or not they were ICE, that is, DHS, keeping some sort of database of who what they consider to be agitators, right? Mm-hmm. And again, everything has to be in some sort of air quote with this administration. Peaceful protesting is not agitation. It's peaceful protesting. Now, but,
well, those ICE agents are getting pretty agitated with our peaceful protesting. So
yes.
It depends who you ask for. Perspective is very important.
Right. Scott chiming in over on our text line this morning saying the video is verified. It's not verified that it's him. Reports I was seeing last night, his family did indicate that it was Preddy in that video. His family has confirmed his identity in this second video.
Yes, because at first it was like, well, he's wearing the person in the video is wearing the same clothing as Alex Preddy was wearing on Saturday. But you're right. I read that as well. The family has said, yes, that is him.
Yes. So we do have confirmation from them that it was him in the second video that surfaced last night. Now, there's more happening in Minneapolis. Okay. I told you it was very rapid fire for us last night as far as some of the things that were taking place and some of the changes in Minneapolis. We know that border czar Tom Homan is now in the city. We've shipped Greg Bovino back to L.A., I believe, is where he ended up going.
He's going back to obscurity.
Okay.
When, you know, a year ago, nobody knew his name. They immediately took him off social media because he was arguing with commenters. So, yes, he and his long coat and his wildly horrible haircut are now going to the dustbin of obscurity.
That's
where
right.
He belongs. And Tom Homan is coming, who, to your point, is a big proponent of keeping a database.
Yes,
and
he
keeping
is.
Names and a list and, you know,
he's been
making the agitators
on public record. In fact, he has said this to several news sources. Yes, this is not a secret thing that he is trying to do in the shadows where Stephen Miller dwells. This is something he has been open about in public.
Oh yeah.
Now he is in the middle of ongoing negotiations with Minnesota officials as the administration considers changes to their enforcement strategy. Obviously, they have recognized that it's not going so well for them in Minneapolis.
You think?
officials are
discussing shifting from
Freudian slip.
You're good.
Freudian slip. Officials are discussing shifting from broad sweeps to targeted operations, focusing on undocumented immigrants with criminal records. The number of federal agents in Minneapolis is also expected to decrease over time, even though Customs and Border Protection emphasize that it will continue enforcing immigration laws nationwide. Last count I saw, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's around 3,000 ICE agents were in Minneapolis. President Trump confirmed plans to de-escalate a little bit and also highlighted.
So we're going to take it down to 2,990.
That's right. That's a
we're
little
chill.
Bit. That's right.
You know what drives me nuts? There's so many things. I should be more specific about what you just said. That part of the negotiation is to just have targeted enforcement of undocumented immigrants with criminal records.
Mm-hmm.
You mean the whole, what it was supposed to be from the very beginning?
Right.
Which everybody can kind of go, all right, yeah, that makes sense. I'm good with getting violent criminals who are undocumented aliens out of the country. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Not with occupying a city and arresting anybody with an accent or a different color skin or, you know, for not carrying their papers. So this is all, it's all just more smoke and mirrors, more blather that is, oh, yes, this is what, look at how well
right.
we're going to adjust. No, you're not. You're going to do what you were supposed to do in the beginning.
Right. Now, we do have, if you haven't heard this news, there is some lighter news and maybe some good news out of Minnesota. And this is on the political front. Democrats actually scored wins in two special elections on Tuesday night in St. Paul and in some of their nearby suburbs.
Okay.
Luger Nicolai and Shelley Buck, my laptop went dead for a second there, so I was like, oh no, were elected to the state house because of the backlash over the Trump administration's immigration enforcement and some of the recent deaths involving the federal agents with the federal agents. Now, these victories bring the Minnesota House back to a 50-50 split.
Oh.
Yes. Reinstating a power-sharing agreement with a Republican speaker, and also most of the committees will be co-chaired now.
Okay.
Democrats maintain a slight edge in the state Senate, 34-33. And, of course, you know, as we go into a 2026 gubernatorial year where Tim Walz has announced he's not running, Amy Klobuchar has thrown her hat into the ring. You know, this for Democrats in the state is seen as a bit of a boost and a win, especially for the mayor's office, mayor's offices, governor, U.S. Senate, all the legislative races. So maybe hope on the horizon for Minnesota.
Well, and I think especially in November, it's going to be a rough time to be a Republican candidate in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially I know Minnesota is huge, just like Wisconsin. There's a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different political affiliations throughout the state. But I still think it's going to be it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Rough sledding.
It is 6:48 right now. Coming up, we're going to do a little fact checking on Wisconsin gun laws. I went deep into the woods. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. I'm Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's 6:52 right now. We hope you're having a great morning. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
I'm Brian Noonan. Are we going to a carnival? What's happening?
No, we're going to Schoolhouse Rock this morning.
Well, we have to because, you know, there's been a lot of discussion over the last week about gun laws and concealed carry and open carry. And can you take a gun here or there? A lot of the conversation was focused on Minneapolis, obviously. But then you start thinking, well, we've been talking about the possibility, and it's up till now, it's all unsubstantiated rumors, but there is always a possibility in a Democratic city that there will be a surge of ICE agents. So I started thinking, well, what are the gun laws here in Wisconsin? And Wisconsin Watch, who we talked to, Tom from Wisconsin Watch yesterday, they're nonpartisan, they do good journalism, and they had a story about the Wisconsin laws on open and concealed carry. And I'll just give you the big picture, and then Jamie likes to drill down.
I do.
But I'm a big picture kind of guy. So here's the basics. Wisconsin's Constitution, Article 1, Section 25. How's that? I got that chapter and verse. Guarantees the right to keep and bear arms for, quote, security, defense, hunting, recreation, or any other lawful purpose, end quote. That makes Wisconsin's Constitution one of the most explicitly pro-Second Amendment state constitutions in the country, and open carry is legal for any adult 18 or older who is not legally prohibited from possessing a firearm. No permit or license is required. So now there's finer points.
There are.
That's why Jamie is here.
Well, and
she puts the fine point. Well, but it is important to know this because that's been the... Well, one of the big talking points from the right is he shouldn't have brought a gun to a political protest. He blah, 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 blah.
Right.
So before we, and I know you have this fact because I read it, and I had it. We all had it. We all
share our work here.
Right. But just give that piece before we drill down on anything else. In Wisconsin,
yes.
If there is a protest,
yes.
and I have a firearm.
Yes.
Open carry.
Yes.
Can I, because concealed carry is different, and we'll get to all that.
Yes.
But can I go to a peaceful protest like the ones, say, on the Capitol grounds that we've seen before? Yes. I think I've seen firearms.
Wisconsin generally allows open and concealed carry at protests and demonstrations, including around the state capitol, as long as restricted buildings and zones are avoided. There are signs, so you'll know where those restricted areas are. Mm-hmm. This is actually something we saw during the 2020 COVID-19 protests when some demonstrators brought rifles and openly carried them outside of the capitol. So if there are protests that happen in downtown Madison, yes, if you are somebody who carries a firearm, you are allowed to have it at those protests and demonstrations. Just watch the signage. So
yes,
that answers that question.
And that's also the law in Minnesota.
Yes.
Debunking once again some of the talking points.
Yes.
And pointing out the hypocrisy of the administration, who is now downplaying guns.
Yes.
But anyway.
And I'll be honest, going into this, Wisconsin's law for guns is pretty permissive, but it's also very highly technical. So stick with me here for a minute. Wisconsin is a shall-issue state for concealed carry. Since 2011, the Department of Justice has to issue a license to qualified applicants. More than 67,000 licenses were actually issued or renewed in 2024 alone. Now, who can't carry? Okay, this is a big question. Under state and federal law, prohibited possessors include anyone with a felony conviction, anyone convicted of misdemeanor domestic violence, anyone under a domestic abuse restraining order, those found not guilty of a felony by reason of mental disease or defect, and individuals ruled incompetent by a court or with certain involvary commitments. Immigration status also matters in our gun laws. Lawful permanent residents may own firearms if otherwise eligible. Most non-immigrant visa holders cannot. Federal law also bars undocumented immigrants from possessing firearms. Location, though, Brian, is where it gets a little tricky in this state.
Right.
Okay? So
you mentioned signs.
Yep. Firearms are banned on federal property, including post offices, school grounds, and generally within 1,000 feet of schools. Police stations, courthouses, and correctional facilities also ban weapons. Now, in cities, it's going to get a little bit trickier as far as school zones, because that 1,000-foot school zone sometimes overlaps, meaning that you can unknowingly be in a restricted area almost anywhere. Private businesses and property owners can also ban guns and require armed individuals to leave. Concealed carry license holders may carry within school zones, not on school property. They may carry in bars and taverns only if they do not drink, and they may carry in vehicles, but a concealed loaded handgun within reach requires a license. State law is very clear. Simply carrying a firearm openly or concealed is not disorderly conduct by itself in the state of Wisconsin. There has to be other evidence of criminal or malicious intent. And you mentioned minors a little earlier. Mm-hmm. If they're under the age of 18, they're generally prohibited from possessing firearms, with narrow exceptions for supervised hunting, target practice, and safety training. That is the bottom line of what I dug into for our open carry and also our concealed laws in this state.
And again, Wisconsin Watch did a great job of summarizing all this and putting it out so everybody could see it. And again, I think it's worth repeating, here in Wisconsin and in Minnesota, political activity is not a disqualifier. Wisconsin generally allows both open and concealed carry at protests, demonstrations, and around the state capitol, provided the individual is not in a restricted building or zone. So remember that if you're trying to come up with some sort of half-handed defense about, you know, why someone was murdered. Well, they shouldn't have had a gun anyway.
But, I mean, you know, I don't
voted for this, so yes, they can have a gun.
If you've got a gun, have it legally. Follow the rules.
Right.
That's what I care
about.
It's 6:59 right now. You're listening to Civic Media Mornings. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And I'm Brian Noonan, and after the news, we're going to fact-check the administration about affordability.
I was busy last night.
I guess you were. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.